Trade Martin. Trade Martin right here on the Wednesday at midnight, an hour edition. We normally start at midnight, but tonight we're starting at 11:30, as you can see. And we have a bunch of guests, and we're going to be talking. And I just don't want, you know, I don't want to get it confused, because a lot of times when you have a lot of guests, everybody talks over each other. But I want to give you the list of our guests. We're going to have my buddy Gary Gatehouse on from the Getting After Lefty show. We're going to have Billy Van Horn on. We're going to have my good buddy, the Mysterious Colonel. We're going to have Kevin Bowles on. And I think Jimmy J is going to be checking in with us. And we're going to have another very special guest. He's not our normal person we have on, because we've never had him on before, but he's the chairperson for Hudson County for Ted Cruz. He's going to be on with us. His name is Eric Dixon. So we're going to introduce them as they come to the phones and be calling in, and we're going to talk about the debate tonight, which is very interesting. And I just love Huckabee for some reason. Huckabee was on the early debate. He just always resonates with me. He doesn't play bass that well, you know, and I just want you to know that. I hear Gary Gatehouse. He's not a musician. He really isn't, and I don't just relate to him because I'm a fellow musician, you know, but he doesn't play bass that well. But I'll tell you, I think he'd make a hell of a president. What do you think, Gary? Tell me the truth. What do you think?
Well, I tell you, I watched the first debate, and
there's
a couple. Huckabee and Santorum kind of stood out.
Oh yeah, Santorum. I like Santorum too. I mean, they're good people. They're really, really very conservative, good people. I mean, you know, I think Huckabee just made a couple of missteps, not in the debate tonight, because he never makes a misstep when he's talking. But when he talked about Common Core or something, kind of turned me off. It was a number of months ago where he said he liked Common Core or something. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That turned me off. But otherwise, I love Huckabee. I just like the way he handles himself. He's just so good. He's so good, and he doesn't put anybody down. He just tells it like it is.
Well, I think one of those guys might replace Jeb Bush.
I'll tell you, I didn't think getting to Jeb Bush. I didn't think Jeb did too badly tonight. You know, I mean, he didn't do great, and I don't think he raised his numbers, but. He wasn't bad tonight. He wasn't as bad as normal. I think he had a little more zip than, you know. He didn't put everybody to sleep.
He had a little more energy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think Trump thought that, too. And when he said to Trump, he said, you're not going to make it to the presidency by making excuses. What did he say? He said something. He said something. You're not going to get to the presidency by...
With insults.
By insulting people. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was a good line.
Yeah, it was.
I guess
he
had that ready. Had that ready in his pocket.
Oh, yeah. He probably practiced it 100 times.
Yeah. But later on, I mean, Billy Van Horn's going to be on with us. And
he's actually on.
Is he on? Hey, Billy.
Yeah. Hey, Billy.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
What's happening, Billy? Did you get a chance to listen to
oh,
the...
Oh, I sure did.
Oh, good. Because the last time, remember, you were so apologetic, you hadn't listened. You
no,
said,
I'm
sorry.
The last one I saw, the one before that, I did not.
Oh, the one before that, that's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But listen, tell me first, I was talking to Gary about the early debate. Did you see the early debate?
I saw some of it.
Lindsey Graham was on the soapbox. So, you know, Lindsey Graham gets me aggravated. He just keeps saying the same thing over and over again. You know? I mean, I feel sorry for him almost, you know. I just, you know. But what did you think of the first debate? Who did you like? Who stuck out to you? What did you think?
Santorum.
He was good, wasn't he? Santorum is a good guy. And, of course, he's from your state, too.
Yes, he is.
I don't blame you because I like Santorum, too. I just feel bad that, you know, Santorum is good enough, really, to be on stage with everybody else in the big debate, but he has no chance, you know, and neither does Huckabee.
Well, I put Santorum and Jindal on an even keel. They are both great guys. They are both great Christians, but, you know, they just don't have the recognition yet.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And
well,
now Jindal's
like
not
Bobby
even governor
Jindal.
Anymore.
I like Bobby Jindal too. I liked him too, but yeah. He didn't seem like he had a shot to be to do anything, you know.
Well, you know, he turned the state of Louisiana. I lived down there for 8 years, and he turned the state of Louisiana around completely. And then they voted for Edwards.
Yeah, I know they
and Dave Vitter. They got rid of him.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't understand.
Voters are fickle, that's for sure.
Yeah, but the sad thing about it is Jindal never really he never got off the ground. You know, I'm sure he was great in Louisiana because he seems like he really knows what he's doing, but
he
never got off the ground in the presidential race, that's for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Never got
so
off the ground.
So one guy I wish would disappear is that darn Lindsey Graham. But he's a little attack dog to represent the RNC in all this.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. He said the only way I think he should go to hell, that Trump should go to hell. That's the best way to do things or something. Didn't he say?
But he always talks about his military service. I served 31 years in the military reserve.
I know, it's redundant.
But he puts
the
caveat in there that he only served 145 days active. The rest
he
of
did
it was in the reserve.
Yeah,
only 145 days out of 31 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, at least he tries to he clears it up. He doesn't want everybody to think he was really in the service for the full amount of time that he was in, that he served actually, but he really just served those days. Like how many days you were in the combat in a lot of days though, but you were in around 30 years, weren't you?
I was in 8 years in the military as an active duty person.
Right.
I was a spook. I fought in Vietnam. And then the rest of my 31 years, I spent as a intelligence operative of one of the intelligence agencies.
I haven't heard the word spook in a long time, you know. I mean, I heard a couple of people refer to Obama as a spook, but I mean...
Oh, boy.
I almost fell down when you said that I was a spook, you know. I never designate anybody, any other race as a spook. But what did they mean by a spook? You mean that you were, like, undercover?
Yeah.
Yeah, an operative.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Nobody knew where he was or where he was going to appear.
Yeah, Lisa.
Exactly. So we have quite a full list of people here. We've got the Colonel, we've got Tony, and we have Eric Dixon on the line.
Okay,
wow.
Put the Colonel on for a second, then we'll put Eric on after that. I'll let you know. Let me speak to the Colonel. Where's the Colonel? Colonel.
Hey.
What's happening, Colonel?
Hey. At ease, man. And you too, Trade.
All right, Colonel. Listen, I just want you to not make a. Okay, me too. Listen, I don't want you to make a statement about Van Jones. When I saw Van Jones, I mean, I'm looking at CNN and I see Van Jones at the panel. I mean, here's a guy that I think should be in jail, but he's on a panel at CNN, and I just—it's hard for me to believe that. But there he was.
They call CNN the Communist News Network. So if there you go.
Right. There you go.
Well, we used to call it the Clinton News Network, the Clinton News Network, and of course the Communist Network. But
remember,
listen,
everything is backwards
guys,
now. Everything is backwards.
Guys, we got the mysterious Colonel on. We're going to talk more. And we got Gary Gatehouse, and we have Billy Van Horn. I want to bring into the conversation a very important guy, one of our main guests. You guys are the panel with me, but our main guest tonight is a guy named Eric Dixon, who is the chairperson for Ted Cruz in the county that I live in, the county of Hudson County. It's a big county. It's a big Democrat county. I mean, it's just, we're swarming with Democrats. It's almost like we got a bunch of ants around as Democrats. And me, my girlfriend, and Eric are like the only three only three conservatives in the area. All right, so let's bring on Eric Dixon. Are you there, Eric?
I'm here, Trade, and good evening, everyone.
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
Evening.
Say hello to everybody.
We
got Gary Gatehouse all the way from Texas. We got Billy Van Horn from Pennsylvania, and my buddy, the mysterious Colonel, is from Long Island. And we got a lot of military guys, experience. Gary Gatehouse is in the military. The Colonel's in the military. Billy Van Horn, you were never in the military, right?
No.
I wasn't. The only thing I can say is my dad and my two uncles were in World War II. But Eric,
yep.
Listen, your guy did very well tonight. I love Ted Cruz. You know, I mean he's the best conservative I've ever come across, and I know Gary loves him, and I know
yep.
Billy Van Horn loves him, and I know that the Colonel loves him too.
Yep.
Tell us
yep.
what
yep.
you think about tonight. What happened?
Well, it's complex because you've got a stage with nine contestants. It's still a crowded field. What happened tonight was I think you had a separation of tiers of candidates. You had some very low-ranked candidates who are barely registering in the polls, but who still survived the cutoff, which is around 3% for this fifth Republican debate.
Right.
You had Rand Paul there, who actually... I think was like the fighter who knew he had to throw a knockout punch to basically keep his campaign alive, and I think he
yeah.
did a very credible job there. I think
he
that,
did.
Personally, I think Rand Paul, if he gains support tonight, my question would be, where does that support come from? Is he pulling support from, for example, Carly Fiorina? That's really my question in terms of assessing the viability of Rand Paul going forward, because at some point, again, with the field of nine, if you want to move up in the polls, you've got to take it from someone else. Donald Trump is not faltering. Ted Cruz is going up in the polls.
Right.
All of a sudden, I think that the remaining seven, it's like the fish tank where two fish are now dominating the water. They're eating all the plankton. And now you're going to see the bottom feeders really fighting. I think that Jeb Bush, respectfully, he is done. Jeb Bush,
agreed.
His closing statement tonight began to stutter, stumble, stammer.
That was terrible, yeah.
He repeated the phrase, my proven record, at least twice. I think I heard it three times. You sounded like a broken record. And for a man who was a governor two terms in Florida, he lost his poise, and I think he was realizing tonight on stage, this is the end of my political career.
Yes,
good.
Definitely. Well, we thought that a while ago, Eric. I
yeah.
mean, you know, he had no shot. Tonight, he seemed to come to life a little bit tonight, but it wasn't enough where he would do anything. It's all over for him.
Hey, Eric, this is Gary down here in Texas. And down here we have two senators. Actually, we only have one. That's Ted Cruz. The other one, John Cornyn, I don't know where he's at. He's somewhere, but he didn't show up very often. The question I got to ask you is, who's the next libertarian in line in that group that would take away the support of, say, Oh, Rand Paul. Rand Paul, you said, looked pretty good tonight. Does he draw from any other libertarian on that group of nine? Is there any other libertarians on there?
There's no other libertarian up there.
Right. I think that's a great point. I think at this point, maybe there would be some fall off. I mean, I think Dr. Ben Carson did poorly. And I'm just talking about the poise or the what is becoming apparent, which is the lack of a rationale for his campaign. It's what I call the Johnny One-Note Syndrome, where someone has basically one rationale, one point that they make in a campaign, and once they've made it, it's like, well, there's not much else here. I think Dr. Carson might be in that situation. Carly Fiorina, I think, has had her day.
Yes, definitely.
The candidate that I think... I've got to tell you something. When I hear Marco Rubio talk, and I'm not going to get into the issue of amnesty just yet, but I don't hear a candidate who really has much of a rationale to be in the Senate, much less to be president. Something I did tonight that was interesting. I did not watch the debate, but I audio streamed it. And one gets a much different impression.
Yes.
When you can actually, for example, follow the news on Twitter in real time and you see the comments come in before you hear them, then you hear the candidate, how they come across, and you're not distracted by the visual appearance. And this is where I got a and it's something that if people out there have the ability to do this, sit at the computer and listen while you're also seeing perhaps a transcript or another type of news feed, a blog, you get a much different impression. Mm. Whereas if you look at Donald Trump, you're looking at his hair, you're looking at those funny facial expressions. Because this is theater.
Yeah, that's true. Those were unbelievable tonight.
Oh. Yeah, by the way, I got to tell you, as I came on the show, I heard you mention one of my former law school classmates, the CNN commentator Van Jones.
Oh, my God.
And I must share with the audience, I went to law school with this character for 3 years. It permanently scarred me. I've been in therapy ever since.
Was he a radical? Was he a radical in law school back then too, Eric?
He was just a tremendously obnoxious, very condescending, hateful
arrogant
individual.
Yeah.
I will tell the audience that very pointedly, I remember he would come to class with a T-shirt that actually spelled out the words, "No white woman, I do not want to mug you."
Now,
back in those days, he was not bald. He had dreadlocks. Those in the audience that don't know, he's an African-American. I give him credit for being candid. He doesn't hide the fact he's a radical Marxist. And he was a radical Marxist a quarter century ago.
Yeah,
but this
absolutely.
Is just someone who has utter contempt for capitalism, for our system. Clearly, those with whom he disagrees, there is no respect. And I've got to tell you, this is what the opinion leaders in the Northeast, in certain professions, the legal profession is dominated by this mindset. This is what is in store, and this is how America's been changed in the last couple of decades.
Mm.
These are the people that when Clarence Thomas was nominated, ran to
great
impeach,
man.
But
great
what
man,
became basically false accusations coming from Anita Hill a quarter century ago.
Yeah.
Where the content of the accusation, the ends justify any means.
Right.
And the mindset that is very dangerous. And believe it or not, since I'm in Hudson County, as Trade was alluding to earlier, this radicalism is really not affecting the Republican Party. What we have now seen done is that it's driven the Democratic Party establishment in fear to move left, because what has happened is the radicals have, through proxies or directly, have been threatening incumbents with primaries if they do not adhere to this new far-left regime.
Whoa.
Right.
So the Democratic Party of 2015 is not the Democratic Party pre-Barack Obama. And the one thing I will say is, I would note, there was a report yesterday that revealed that Hillary Clinton, her campaign is working on building an organization very similar to Obama's Organizing for America, which was an extra, it was really outside the boundaries of the Democratic Party, meaning that Barack Obama did not rely upon the party establishment to run his general election campaign. He didn't trust it, and he wanted to control the organization and one organization for himself.
Mm-hmm.
I think what Hillary is
saying
now
they're both pupils of Saul Alinsky.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well,
that's where they draw their political fire from.
Well, they
so is
Saul
Van
Alinsky.
Jones. So is Van Jones. I mean.
Yeah, Van Jones.
Well, you know,
Van Jones,
the
gradients of radicalism. Van Jones is pretty much the far fringe. The fact that he's on CNN is appalling.
It's unbelievable.
With no personal animus to the man, I just find him to be, I just recognize what he is. He has no fundamental respect for people with whom he disagrees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that our side needs to recognize. One thing that Republican conservatives do not do in my estimation, we do not adhere to the rule. Don't feed the hand that bites you. We support people who attack us. when Starbucks attacks us culturally, we still go to Starbucks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The other side, when they don't like a conservative, they drive
them
out of business.
Right. They cut you right off. Yeah.
We support our enemies.
Yeah,
and,
no, you're right. You're right.
And it's astonishing. So we lose because we don't fight to win a war. We fight to make a point. We fight to be fair. And we fight on the standards and the battleground defined by our enemy. In the military.
Oh, Eric, listen. Eric Trade Martin here. Listen. And listen, I love the points you're making. They're very valid points. I wanted to tell everybody that you are a practicing lawyer also, and you're by friends with my buddy Steve Lonigan, who is the New Jersey chairman for Ted Cruz of all of New Jersey. And my girlfriend, Antoinette, who I think is on the line. Is she on the line? Tony, are you on the line? Lisa, is Tony on the line?
She dropped off.
Oh, she dropped off? Okay. Well, maybe she'll call back. All right. Well, yeah.
Hey, listen, I hate to interrupt this party, but we need to fight for our right to party like the Beastie Boys.
Hey, what's
Jimmy
up? Jimmy Jay. Listen, we have a number of very important people on. Of course, you're the most important because Jay, my co-host, not usually tonight, but my co-host on the Sunday Morning Funhouse show every Sunday morning at 9:30 is Jimmy
Big
Jay,
Dog Radio.
The DJ of the stars. And
so
I'm on
Cape Cod right now, and I just DJed an amazing party at one of the best restaurants on the Cape. And so we did not see, hear, or anything. I mean, what happened? Did I miss anything really important with the debate tonight?
No, just
Dan
Jones.
I can somehow, really.
No, you just missed Dan Jones. Listen, Jimmy, let me introduce you to everybody, though. Okay. Listen, Gary Gatehouse is on the line with us.
How you doing, Gary?
Lefty
Good man,
show.
Nice to meet you.
And the Mysterious Colonel.
I know
and,
him.
And Billy Van Horn is on with us.
Jimmy
and
Ray,
also
how you doing?
Our very special guest, who is the Hudson County chairperson for Ted Cruz, is Eric Dixon is on. Eric, say hello to Jimmy Jay. Jimmy Jay is one of the greatest disc jockeys.
Thank you, and good evening.
In Boston.
Well, thank you. Nice meeting you. But, yeah, we had this great party on the Cape, and, you know, they didn't even have the TV on. You know, we were jamming, having a great time. And so did anything really spectacular happen? Or
I could sum it up for you.
Ted Cruz did wonderfully, and Rubio. Listen, Eric, you weren't watching the video, but the visuals, but Rubio looked shaken in a couple of spots. He looked like he was shaken up a little bit. I don't know if you could hear that in his demeanor when he was speaking, but he was a little shook up because Cruz really went after him big time. I'll tell you that.
So who was the leader of the debate?
Well, you know, I think everybody did. Everybody did fairly
well.
Yeah,
I don't
Kasich
think there
was
a winner. I don't think there was one that would lead. Actually.
No, I don't
know.
Kasich
looks like he's got. You know, he's got some.
He's got the shakes.
We're gonna get rid of him. He's got to get out. The only
he's
reason
know,
there.
Hey, you know who Kasich reminds me of? I was telling my wife. He reminds me of Jimmy Stewart. James Stewart.
That's true.
Like
a
kind of way he
Jimmy
talks
Stewart,
and the kind of way he moves. Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa.
Kevin Bowles is also on the line.
Okay,
hey,
we have Kevin Bowles on. All right. Bring Kevin Bowles.
Hey,
Trace. Yeah, hey, Kevin. We got a lot of people on the line. We got Jimmy Jay, our good buddy Jimmy Jay. We have Eric Dixon on the line, who is the chairperson for the great Ted Cruz in Hudson County. He's our very special guest tonight. And we have Gary Gatehouse on, and we have Billy Van Horn, who loved your show. Now Kevin is another great DJ on a terrestrial radio station, and he does a great oldies show. And so does Jimmy Jay. And listen, I can't give these guys enough of great introduction to everybody. But I want to continue with what Eric was saying real quick. Eric, are you there?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Eric, tell us what your plans are with Ted Cruz in the next coming weeks, the upcoming weeks.
Well, remember, nationally, I think the Cruz campaign will be concentrating not just on Iowa, where Ted Cruz is ahead. He leads
right.
in the last poll in Iowa. I believe he is in a three-way tie for second in New Hampshire. Got a couple of candidates,
well, Christie is second. Christie is also second in New Hampshire. And I think,
right.
I believe
it's
that Trump
not,
is leading in New Hampshire right now.
Right. But beyond that, I think the Cruz campaign will then concentrate in a whole bunch of these southeastern states
uh-huh.
by the end of March. The campaign does plan to be competitive in all 50 states, unlike most of the other candidates who have had trouble getting their petitions in, getting full delegate slates. The Cruz campaign really has a ground operation going. The fundraising is going well. The fact is, when you're facing Donald Trump, and potentially this could be down the road, a two-man race, Trump against Cruz.
Right.
Let me ask
you a question. If
sure.
Cruz gets there to where he needs to be, you as one of his campaign leaders, what happens with you? Do you guys get jobs? Well, how does that work? I really want to know that kind of stuff.
Well,
I don't think Eric is in it to get any political favors.
No, but I'm asking. I mean, everybody's working hard for all the different political people. Is there a prize at the end aside from the guy getting elected? Is there a prize there for you? Possible.
Oh, I see. I didn't know what you meant. Thinking about that. As a matter of fact, I know that in New Jersey, our state chairman, Steve Lonergan, is working on a volunteer basis. The case
oh, absolutely.
Where
yes, Steve is a great guy. Steve is our friend and my mm-hmm. good friend, Jimmy. He's me and Antoinette's good friend, you know.
No, I understand that you mentioned that before, but I just wonder why people work so hard, you know, on different things. I know it's for what they believe in, but wonder also if, you know, I mean, there's so many jobs that are opened once a guy becomes president that he can assign people to do or whatever. And just wondering what the outcome is. Is there a prize at the end of the rainbow for all these people that are working, aside from, you know, your favorite?
That's a good question, Jim. But I think that Eric is in a little different category where he's not really worried about that. And, you know, I don't think he wants to leave New Jersey. He loves New Jersey. Right, Eric? What do you think?
Yes, that's a very good point where wherever you are on the spectrum in terms of activism, the idea, well, if your candidate wins, you might be thinking, oh, I have a job. Well, then you have to think where that job might be. Do you want to be the ambassador to Madagascar?
Right.
Yeah. Go work in the Fish and Wildlife Service. Oh,
yeah. Well, we don't want to go to Benghazi, right?
Well, I wouldn't want to go to Madagascar because they have those hissing cockroaches and that scares me.
See, that's how Jimmy. Some of these people get appointed to these government jobs, like to head Health and Human Services. Not so much FBI, but Homeland Security, DEA, those big jobs. I think some of the big supporters would get the political appointed jobs. And again,
right.
it's one of those jobs where you don't have to have any experience in that job
no.
at all. Hence, you know, all these secretaries of defense who never served one day in the military, and then all of a sudden they're leaving and they have no idea what's going on. So those are the guys that I think, to a certain extent, get those political jobs as a reward for helping out in the campaigns, to a large
right.
extent anyway.
One
well,
thing
listen,
I'd like to
ask
the panel is given tonight's debate, I think the question may not be who's at the top of the leaderboard among the Republicans, but on the bottom, and in particular with the establishment, that the establishment has been seeking a candidate to either take on Ted Cruz, or more to the point, who's going to take on Donald Trump? And there's been this movement, well, perhaps Jeb Bush might have been that candidate. There might have
well,
been
no,
thought
I think
that,
I think Jeb Bush was way gone a couple of debates ago.
Yeah,
but I think
agreed.
Rubio is definitely the guy.
Yeah,
now,
that's
listen, let me
boy,
add something.
Rubio.
Because I know Kevin listened to the debate, watched the debate, and he's up in Boston. He's a big conservative, but he's surrounded by liberals, and I want to see what he thought. Who do you think is gonna falter now after tonight, Kevin? Kevin Bowles.
I think Jeb Bush is kind of done, to be honest with you. When I see him on TV, he looks kind of aggravated and burnt out.
Yeah, he looks like he's white in the face, too. He looks like he's
This week, I mean, I don't know about Jimmy, but I mean, he's been running campaign commercials like every segment.
Oh, I know. He's spending a lot of money, you know.
I know.
And they're good commercials too, but he's not doing himself any good. Now, I think he's out. He's out of it. Now, I mean, he's out of it for good. But I think Rubio is their fair-haired boy, you know.
Yeah, he
is.
Did you notice that tonight every question that was poised to or asked of Bush was about Trump?
Yeah,
I mean, Trump
absolutely
even commented on it, and then in the after debate, Trump commented, and Eric, that I don't want to put you on the spot, okay? So you don't have to answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's Billy Van Horn.
Billy Van Horn, Freedom in America Radio. I have heard the scuttlebutt, and I have seen myself that Cruz and Trump really don't stomp all that much on each other. Do you think there's, and you don't have to answer this, do you think there's a possibility that they are working together? Because they're the top two guys. I mean, let's face it. Everybody else, including Carson, does not have a chance. It's going to be a Trump-Cruz situation. And do you think that Cruz would pick Trump as his VP or that Trump would pick Cruz as his VP? Do you think that's a possibility? I mean, it certainly appears to me as though they're working together. So
I don't think Trump would play second fiddle to anybody.
Well, he would not. He would not.
No. No, he wouldn't.
No, he wouldn't want to be VP.
I believe that.
Yeah, that question reminds me of the board game Risk. and that's been around for decades, I believe.
Yeah.
I think that you've got a six-sided strategic battle going on where you're always assessing who your enemies are. You're trying to pick off certain segments, certain constituencies. I know that the Cruz campaign is doing micro-targeting where they're really trying to penetrate certain constituencies based upon, trigger points with certain issues, and I can't get into that farther because some of this is proprietary.
I understand.
But the fact is that now it's a more sophisticated approach as opposed to just carpet bombing Manchester, New Hampshire with the Boston TV market and throwing up all these ads. It basically, you're going after 4% of the viewership with millions of dollars, and you just wasting. It's like you're just burning cash. I don't think that any two candidates would be working together simply because you have legal issues of coordination between candidates. You don't want to have candidate A helping out candidate B because then that raises an issue of what's called an in-kind contribution.
That's not necessarily what I meant by that question. What I meant was if Trump becomes the nominee, don't you think he would want to name Cruz because those two think alike the most as his VP?
I actually don't think that the two would end up being each other's tickets, and certainly I don't think that Donald Trump would agree to be anyone's vice presidential.
Oh no! I don't. He would never take second spot.
And I don't agree. I don't agree that Cruz and Trump really think alike. I mean, they have a couple of things that they're kind of parallel on, but I don't think they think alike. I think that Trump, the reason why Trump is so smart, he doesn't want to go head-to-head with Cruz because Cruz is a great debater. Not that Trump wouldn't be good, but, you know, he likes Cruz. He respects Cruz, and he's trying to stay away from Cruz. Even though Cruz, on a private thing, he beat around the bush tonight, Cruz, on what he said about Trump. He said that Trump would not get the nomination in the private meeting. I believe I'm correct, Eric. Is that right? Do you remember that? in that private meeting?
There have been reports. I read the partial transcript of the remarks, and I will say this. I think the press has been reaching for straws to try to
get a gap to get a conflict going
between Trump and Cruz. Really, the Cruz's comments, and I have been in private meetings with Senator Cruz. There's been nothing that I've heard that is derogatory or even criticizing Donald Trump at all from the mouth of either Ted Cruz or from any of his associates.
Mm-hmm. So Eric, this is Gary Gatehouse, and this guy, I got to ask this question. Either Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, either one of them, let's say they get the nomination and they're elected president of the United States, how much impact would either one of those guys, if they were elected president, how much impact will they have on the RNC? Will they change the RNC's whole outlook on how they treat candidates and how they the leadership of the Republican Party treats conservatives within that party? Or what kind of impact do you think they would have?
Sadly, I don't think it'll have much impact, and here is why. The Republican National Committee members are chosen from each of the 50 states, so it becomes a state issue. Who are those members?
Yeah.
That is different from the delegates from each state that would be going to the convention, which is going to be held in Cleveland in July. For example, take New Jersey as an example. It will be 50 delegates from New Jersey. 36 are chosen through the delegate voting process. So voters get to select 36. The remaining 14 or so are chosen by the state committee, which is separate from any candidate. So you could have, in the case of New Jersey, about a quarter of the state delegation that can be quite hostile to a Donald Trump or a Ted Cruz. And
I understand that, but let's say either one of those guys go ahead and gets elected as president of the United States.
Right.
Then what kind of an impact would they have on the RNC and the leadership within the Republican Party? Because right now they don't want to have anything to do with outsiders. They don't want to have anything to do with conservatives. Matter of fact, they would rather conservatives go away and disappear. So I wonder if that whole attitude would change.
I think that once we move away from the presidential race, and then we're talking about at the convention, I would expect this will be a June 2016, July 2016 issue. Once we've decided who the nominee is, and once we get done with the forecasting of who's going to be the vice presidential candidate, I would expect that there'll be quite a bit of work behind the scenes, a lot of fighting regarding the party platform, and that's where the delegates from all the states would have their impact. How much would that change the RNC? I think the RNC is like a big battleship, like the Queen Elizabeth II. It's going to take a long time to turn that around.
Yeah.
And I think there's quite a bit of dissatisfaction among the grassroots, because there is a divide between grassroots activists and the establishment. The other thing is that it's a geographic divide. The establishment among the Republican Party is still clustered, for the most part, in the Northeast, maybe the Mid-Atlantic, and I'd say the Great Lakes region.
I see.
Whereas the national grassroots and the GOP is in the South and the Midwest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a
In my opinion, the GOP is so dead against either Donald Trump and or Ted Cruz that they may all commit suicide if they do get the nomination. See, then we will get rid of the establishment. But
there you go.
The majority of the GOP anymore is, and I mean they're establishment people, and it's just a bunch of rhinos.
Listen, even Rush Limbaugh said, you know, when we know Rush and we know Mark Levin a little bit, they said that they think that the establishment would rather have Hillary Clinton become president than have Ted Cruz and or Donald Trump.
Yep.
But listen, Eric, Eric, I want to thank you for being with us tonight. You know, I don't want to cut you off, but I want you to come on the show again, please, some night. You know, we'll chat a little more, just you and I. But I want to get back to my panel and back to talking a little more about all the other people and all the other little things that happened during the debate. I want to talk to them about that because we have a lot of people on the line. We have the Mysterious Colonel, and we have Gary Gatehouse and Billy Van Horn and my buddy Kevin Bowles, and, of course, Jimmy J was on, I'm not sure. And then it sounded like somebody was at the mechanic's office while you were speaking. Was working on their car. You know,
repair shop.
And I was going to go out and work on my car during that little thing, but I was getting a little distracted. But we love having you on, Eric.
Well,
Eric, you were great.
Lisa,
and I'd love to meet with you sometime. And I want you to meet my girlfriend, Antoinette, who's the chairperson for you've been in contact email wise with her, who's the chairperson for TED in our town, Weehawken. So we'll get together sometime, Eric. And I want to come in. We're going to maybe do a thing where I want to bring Steve Lonergan in, and I want you to come down and you'll see me entertained some night. We'll have some fun. All right.
Yeah,
nice to meet you, Eric. This is
Gary. Pleasure, and I just want to say to the studio audience, it's been a pleasure at least speaking with all of you on the radio, and I can be reached on Twitter at Dixon Strategy.
Ooh.
Oh,
okay.
I like that. All right, Dixon Strategy. I like that. All right,
mm-hmm.
And I got a record called Strategy that I use for Barack Obama because he needs a strategy.
Yep.
You know.
Hey, Eric, this is Gary Gatehouse, and I'm up on Twitter, and you can drop by and say howdy at GAL Network.
GAL
Network.
Network.
That's where
got
I
it.
Am at. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, Gary's got a great show, and so does Billy. We'll be talking to you, Eric. I'll be in touch, and we'll get together again. I'll be in the next couple of weeks. I want you on the show again, please.
Excellent.
All right?
Excellent.
Take care, Eric.
Take care.
Eric, thank you very much. You were very informative. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Yeah.
Hey, Trey.
Very informative.
Hey, Lisa, what?
You have a friend named Dennis Wazzani on the line.
Oh, is Dennis on? Put Dennis on.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, Dennis. How you feeling, Dennis? How's everything going?
I'm feeling
going?
Great. And show's a great
That's
show
good.
Tonight.
Listen,
I just wanted to have a comment, if I may.
Okay, before you get started, we got, I think Jimmy J is still on.
Yeah.
And Kevin Bowles still on. And Gary Gatehouse is on. And Billy Van Horn, this is my close buddy. We went to school together, me and Dennis Wazzani. Okay, Denny.
Wow.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Best comment of the night for Jimmy J was Ted Cruz said when he was wrapping up his if you elect me president, he said, I will have the wall built and Donald Trump will pay for it. Which
yeah.
I thought
was
the best line. That would be the most memorable line. And the other major, major thing happened, I thought, was Donald Trump obviously has gotten the Republican Party under control because he said he would not definitely run on a third term.
At a third party,
he thinks
party,
he would be
yes,
treated fairly,
party.
And I think he probably is now going to be far more influential with what happens with the rest of the campaign. And I've made a prediction back in June, and I mentioned this last night to some friends. We were out to dinner, and I said, I believe there is an alliance, and I believe there was an alliance between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz way back when, back in June.
We've heard that. Yep.
You heard
yep.
that. I have written it on my Facebook page. You remember, Trey, we talked about it.
Yep.
I have promised my conservative friends yesterday that at the end of the campaign, one thing I am certain of, Ted Cruz will be running the country either as the most influential and most impactful vice president in the history of our country, or as the president. There is no doubt in my mind that Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, will be the team that will lead us back to the greatness that this country was. No doubt.
That'd be a hell of a team, I can tell you that.
I agree.
Right on.
And the third person in that team, the other two people that I'm predicting, Trey Gowdy will be the Attorney General, and the Secretary of State will be Colonel West.
Yeah.
Those are my
four
guys.
And I love Trey Gowdy, too. You got it.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis, you very, very great thoughts. Great thoughts. I love it.
Very
Thanks.
Perceptive there.
Yep.
I enjoyed listening to the panel tonight. It was terrific dialogue. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right,
Dennis,
I'll talk to you.
Thanks.
I'll be in touch, all right? Thank you very much. We only got about another 10 minutes or so. But thank you for calling in. Boy, you're the best.
Thanks,
so, Trey, you and Dennis were in reform school together? Is that what it was?
Maybe we should have been.
Charge! Hey, how about that triad? I think Donald Trump thought it was a ring or something, a triad.
Yeah, he did.
So, a nuclear triad.
He didn't know what it was.
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 He just stuck to the nuclear bomb. He said, nuclear, we got to get rid of nuclear bomb. He thinks he's doing The Apprentice, you know, when he's
exactly.
doing these.
Exactly.
You know?
I give Rubio credit because Rubio, you kind of gave him the answer by explaining exactly what it was.
Yeah. Took him to school,
But, you know, I'm surprised that Rubio didn't say, well, listen, Donald doesn't really know what it is, but,
Exactly, right, right.
Well,
let me just explain what
it
is.
I know Donald really doesn't know what the triad means, but let me explain it to you now, all right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, if he would have got all kinds of, he would have got bombed. He would have thought he was in a nuclear attack.
Yeah.
You know, really.
Oh, man. Trump. His facial expressions were priceless, though. Oh, my
God.
Oh, they were, weren't they?
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
He was nonstop with them all. Oh, man.
I tell you what, he looked a bit worn out, though.
He did. I got to say, I agree.
Yeah.
He did.
His eyes are all glassy.
Worn out. Yeah.
I think
he's no spring chicken.
Flabbergasted.
No.
Sure. He's up there in age, but he's a fighter. He's doing a lot of stuff. He's doing stuff every day, and he's big crowds he's doing, you know.
Yes, what he said. He said 2 months ago, I was not a politician. I was a businessman. This is
a new
different game for me.
But like I said, I think he was flabbergasted. I mean, did you hear the crowd after most of his comments? Ooh.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah, I know.
Like, okay,
a lot of boos, I heard. Yeah.
I think Jeb
had a lot of paid people in the audience.
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Oh,
I
absolutely. And Rand Paul,
that,
too.
That was a hand-picked audience, no doubt.
Yeah.
And,
no doubt about it.
Well, Jimmy, are you still on?
I think Jimmy J just dropped off. I think Jimmy
fell asleep. He fell asleep.
Well, I was going to say,
Jimmy,
you know that.
Jimmy said he had to go.
Okay.
Hey, Tony.
Well,
he
I was going
to go.
Say, I summed up the whole thing in three words. CNN Facebook sponsored.
There you go.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's true.
That says it all.
And the first note,
Tony,
the first note I wrote down was, does Rubio, Carly, Bush, and Kasich need hearing aids? Because they never answered the questions that were asked them.
No, I know.
You know,
it's
like,
amazing,
yeah.
Especially Kasich. I mean, Kasich, you know, he'll say, well, let me say this before I've ever... something else. He never
they have their rehearsed things that they want to say, and they ignore the questions that are asked them.
Yes,
so that
Rubio is like a recorder. You can hit pause,
wait five
minutes, and hit play, and it'll start right at that very word.
And I said to my girlfriend, I said to Antoinette, he said, I just hope he doesn't say that his father was a bartender again.
Yeah, right.
He says, well, my father was a bartender, and blah, blah, blah. And tonight it was, well, my grandfather was sitting there, and he smoked three Cuban cigars. I don't know if he's a Cuban, but he's
in. Yeah, he's wearing a commercial about that. I saw that, too.
Yeah,
it's kind of interesting.
Was anybody else surprised to see Kasich and Paul there? I was. I was like, what?
No, I knew they were going to be there, but Kasich is only there. You know, Billy, Kasich is only there because he's the governor of Ohio, which is the most important state for some reason. Everybody, any president who wins Ohio usually wins the presidency.
Yeah.
Whereas
Ohio is so important, Trade.
The media is popping up. Sorry.
Because anyone you know who controls Iowa for some reason always wins the presidency, and that's why he's got that little niche where he's the governor of Ohio, so I think they're just catering to him. But he's
momentum too. That's the first caucus of the whole thing, and normally whoever wins that, there's a little bit of momentum behind him going into the others.
Well, except the Iowa caucus, the Iowa caucus doesn't really mean anything. Usually, if you win the Iowa caucus, you don't win anything.
Look at Santorum.
Santorum won last time, and before that, Huckabee won. I mean, they didn't.
Did it take a few days or a few weeks for Santorum to finally realize he won?
They called Romney as the winner, and then a couple weeks later, they said that Santorum had won by 19. Votes or something by a very small amount.
By that time, everybody had moved on, and it was just a little nick in the history book.
That's it.
But you know, the media, they keep propping up Jeb Bush because look at that campaign war chest he has. He's still got a lot of money the media can drain out of him.
This week, Jeb Bush is like in every commercial cycle. And this is
absolutely.
Boston. He's not liked in Boston either.
But he's on the air a lot down here too. I mean, almost every time they go to a commercial, he's got a commercial on. And
that's what I'm
good
saying, Trey.
Too.
It's been like that up here too. Yeah,
I know, but it's not doing him any good.
What a waste of money!
Not doing any good.
Yeah, we don't see much down here in South Texas. We see a lot of crews, and I have yet to see a Trump commercial down here where I'm at.
I haven't seen any Trump commercial. You don't see any Trump commercials, do you, Kevin?
No, I haven't seen any Trump commercials.
No, I haven't. I saw a Hillary one, which was kind of isolated. I thought she'd be advertising more, but I've only seen the one Hillary one.
She's got the nomination. Kevin, she's got the nomination locked up. I mean, had it locked up. I mean, she's got Bernie Sanders got no chance. He's got no
Trade. My liberal friends are for that Bernie Sanders. It's absolutely disgusting.
I know. When I hear somebody.
Let me tell you something, Trade. When what's his name? Trump made that comment about the Muslims. All these liberal friends, people even in my family, were supporting the Muslims over Trump. It was. I'm telling you, I can't talk to some of these liberals. I mean. And you share that thing on my page today. Everyone knows I'm the conservative, you know. And tell me, Christmas, I'm gonna be exposed, you know.
Nobody's gonna be talking to Kevin. He's gonna be living on the street. You know what? You're gonna have to apply for subsidies, Kevin.
You've
been living on the street.
Seriously, Colonel Billy, it's so liberal. My people in my life are so liberal, except for my dad, and it's like I just don't want it completely out there, especially where I'm gonna have to see these people in about a week.
Yeah,
you know?
Same here. My whole family's Democrat. My whole family.
Yeah.
You too, Gary? Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Matter of fact, I have a brother that made a statement one time that he's a socialist.
Oh,
wow.
Him and his wife.
Wow.
I'll tell him to call Van Jones. He should get together with Van Jones, you know.
You guys want to hear a trade? You want to hear a good story?
I almost fell on the floor when I saw Van Jones on CNN. I mean, I know he's on there, but when
he's always
on
there, yeah.
A Republican debate and Van Jones? Oh, my God.
Hey, trade, you want to hear a true story? This is when George Bush the son was running, all right, against Al Gore. This was mom's dad, my grandfather, okay? He had emphysema. He was dying, okay? My dad attempts to argue with my grandfather, who was 100% Democrat. And I can't remember the exact argument, but my grandfather got so mad at my father, he slammed the dining room chair on the wall, and he was dead in 3 months, and he never lived to see George Bush become president.
Wow.
That I'll never. I was 12 years old.
That's a shame, though. You know, it's a shame that he passed away. But I mean, Al Gore, you know, the climate change mastermind or global warming mastermind.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, I'm in the musicians union, and New York Musicians Union 802, and I don't know if I told Gary this or somebody this or the Colonel, or I know I mentioned it to you, but they called me from the union and they said, "Man, you got..." Oh no, it wasn't Al Gore though. It was John Kerry. I'm sorry. They called me up and they said, "You got to vote for John Kerry." I said, "Not me." He goes, "Yeah, he plays guitar like you." I said, "He does, huh?" I said, "I'm still going to vote for him. You must be kidding me." Yes, the guy said to me on the phone, "He's a guitar player like you. You should vote for him." Yeah, I got my schmuck. I'm supposed to vote for Kerry because he's a guitar player.
What is the climate change thing? I don't get it. It's cold. Winter's coming.
Nobody gets it. You know, nobody gets it. Nobody gets it that it's a hoax. We get it, but nobody else gets it. I mean, and these guys are talking like it's going to change in like 10 years. Climate keeps moving around, and it changes in millions and millions of years. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. I hate terms like your carbon footprint. You know, Al Gore's made billions off this, you know.
Yeah, I know.
In the 70s, it was that we're going back to the Ice Age.
Yeah, well, they kept saying
that years ago, yeah. We're supposed to be in the Ice Age right now, but it's been 60 degrees here. What's the temperature by you, Gary? I mean, we got like almost 60 degrees over here.
Yeah, I think it was 80 down, 79 or 80 down.
You know, it's always warm down by you most of the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just for your guys' information, the great white hunter, Gary Gatehouse, nuked a skunk 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I took him down to the back of my property, and the buzzards had a feast. They had a real nice luncheon that day.
Well, that's the closest Gary will get to ISIS in
exactly.
In Texas.
Same colors, black and white. That's the color of their flag.
There you go. That's right. That's right, the ISIS flag.
That's what he did. And I bet you they stink. Listen, these guys, I had a long conversation with the colonel a number of months ago. What do these guys do for recreation? I mean, do they go to a movie? Do they go to lunch with anybody? Do they have fun? Do they go to a nightclub?
Do they eat popcorn? Do they go to Target and get popcorn? Come on.
Do they go to Walmart? Does ISIS have a Walmart? I mean, I don't understand this. You know?
They eat popcorn, they go to Walmart.
Super Walmarts there.
Yeah, they do.
they call them super hijabs or something like that.
Yeah.
And they get their porno, they get the Playboy 79 versions.
Exactly.
It comes out every 3 months because they got to, you know, change them around once in a while. But I've warned all the ISIS folks that they don't know, but the scuttlebutt out on the street is that all those virgins have STDs. So I don't know what they're going to do when they get up there.
Well, if you get STD and wherever they are, where do you go after that? I don't know. What happens?
Well, you use a pipe bomb.
Where do you go from there?
A pipe bomb gets rid of the STDs, you know.
That's true.
One thing I can't understand about them is that they, okay, they hate homosexuals, okay?
Right.
Uh-huh.
So, like, when they kill them, they sodomize them. What the?
Yeah, well,
they have to have sex with somebody.
With a sodomizing machine?
Yeah. No. He was gang rape. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know.
And then they kill him for being, I don't get it.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, they're peace-loving people.
They're all
peace-loving people.
Yeah, well, just read the Koran. You know, Muhammad Ali came out against everybody. You know, Muhammad Ali was born a Baptist. He was a Christian for a long time or something like that. But then he converted to Islam in the 60s. And now he's like
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah, there you go.
He's another one. He's a true believer. He's a peace-loving guy.
Unbelievable. These guys never read the Koran, though. If they read the Koran, they'll see where they want to take you.
I invited a whole bunch of ISIS guys over for Thanksgiving, and I couldn't have any of them because they all fought. They all wanted to be the carving. They all wanted to carve up the turkey and everybody else. So I couldn't have anybody over. They were all fighting over the carving knife.
It's funny thing is, turkey.
You know, if they had any class, they'd be using guillotines, you know, but they don't even use guillotines, you know, these guys. Listen, everybody, we're at the end of our show. Wow. We're at the end of our show, and we're I want to thank you for being with us tonight. This is Trey Martin. I want to thank Billy Van Horn, Gary Gatehouse, Kevin Bowles, the mysterious Colonel. Of course, earlier my buddy Jimmy Jake called up, my co-host for Sunday, called up, and Lisa, thank you very much, Lisa May, CEO of Big Dog Media, my girlfriend Tony, who didn't get back on with us, and of course our special guest tonight was Eric Dixon, the chairperson for Hudson County, and Ted Cruz. We were honored to have him on. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll
All
see
right,
you next
good
week.
God bless
we'll
everybody.
Sunday.
Good night,
God
everybody.
Bless everybody.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Have a great day tomorrow. See you. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.